We are going to be moving into week 6 of our Don't Give Up series. And today's message is titled, The Mud Run We Call Life. If you were at Trinity week 1, I did an intro to this series, and I referred to our lives as a mud run. And that is what we are going to talk about today. But before I do, I want to give you a brief recap of what we covered so far. And to start that recap, I want to reread the primary passage for our sermon series. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Dale read it last week, and I want to read it again this week. And there's nothing wrong with rereading scripture over and over because it helps us grow, it helps us mature, it helps us gain a greater knowledge of God. So this passage is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, if you noticed, in this series, we have focused on verse 1. And that's because verse 1 has three main aspects. And so far, we have covered two of them. Bishop Hill spoke about the cloud or crowd of witnesses. These are people that have come before us that have exemplified faith in God that we can use as examples. And he gave us biblical examples. He gave us Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Elijah and the disciples. We also have examples from our own lives, from our past, people that we knew, who we can use to inspire us on our faith walks. Now, we are living in an unprecedented time in human history, and Dale felt called to speak about that 2 weeks ago. So Dale talked about throwing off everything that hinders, and one of those things is anxiety. And he talked about anxiety as it relates to the here and now and our unknown future. And last week, Dale talked about lies. Lies that we tell ourselves. Lies that hold us back from living our best lives for God. Now, since we are living in this time, and we wanted to focus on some relevance to today's society, Dale didn't have as much time to talk about the sin that so easily entangles us. However, most Christians know what sin does in their lives. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, Jesus died for our sins, and he granted us eternal life. However, sin can still have a major stronghold over our lives. It can affect our relationships with God, especially if we become entangled by it. So we need to acknowledge, repent, and throw off our sin so we can run with perseverance the race marked out for us, which is the third aspect of verse 1, and it's what we want to talk about today. Now, to get started, I want to unpack three things about this sentence that will help us understand where Paul, the writer, is coming from. The first thing is the phrase, with perseverance. Why does Paul add this phrase to this sentence? Why doesn't he just say, run the race marked out for us? That would have made sense. But for some reason, he adds the words, with perseverance. And the reason is the original Greek word used for race in this verse. And that Greek word is agon, A-G-O-N. Agon means a fight or a struggle. And it's the root word, or the root for the English word, agony. Now, if you were here 5 weeks ago, I said that our lives are not a light jog around the block. They're not a sprint to the end of the block. They're a fight. They're a struggle. And I even said the word marathon doesn't do our lives justice. So I compared our lives to a mud run. Now, the difference between a mud run and a running race is that a mud run has obstacles. There are walls to climb over, ropes to climb up, barbed wire to crawl under, cargo nets to traverse, monkey bars to swing across, and there's usually some weight-carrying portion of the event where people have to carry a tire or sandbags or buckets of gravel for a distance. And on top of all those obstacles, there's mud. There's tons and tons of mud. People finished that race with mud in places on their body they didn't think mud could go. Now, I think you get the picture. So let us run our race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. And today, I specifically want to focus on obstacles, on these obstacles that can get in our way. But I still need to unpack the two other things about this sentence that I wanted to unpack. The second thing is, who wins a sprint? The fastest runner. Who wins a marathon? The fastest runner with the most stamina. Who wins a mud run? Well, I can tell you, it's not always the fastest runner. It's not always the person with the most stamina. And it's not always the strongest person. The person who wins a mud run is the person with the most heart, with the most desire to win, with the most determination, the person who perseveres more than the rest. The person who wins a mud run is the person who refuses to give up. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In other words, don't give up. The third thing I want to mention is the phrase marked out for us. This is the NIV translation. Most other translations use set before us, which I like a little better. It's closer to the original translation, set before us. Now, there are Christians out there who believe that God has complete control over everything, that everything has already been pre-planned. Anything that happens in their life has already been decided. And they would see the phrase marked out for us as meaning just that. Now, I would disagree with that interpretation. Let me give you an example. If you are that person, do you think God intended for someone to get cancer? Now, with your belief system, you might say yes, and that's okay. You and I are just going to disagree. But do me a favor. Go up to a person who says cancer and say, "Your cancer is all part of God's plan." And then come back to me and tell me how that conversation went. I'm sure it's not going to go very well. Now, I bring this up to let you know that this interpretation exists, but it's far from the most popular interpretation. And this is why I like the phrase set before us. It's closer to the original translation. Set before us means we don't necessarily get to set up our race the way that we like it. We don't necessarily get to set the difficulty level. We don't necessarily get to predict the future. Now, I said necessarily three times because there is some level of setup that we can have in our lives. Here's an example. If I hold education in high regard in my life, I'm probably going to get good grades in grade school, and that will probably help me get into a good college. If I continue to have education held in high regard in my life, I will probably get good grades in college, and that will set me up for a successful career. This career will determine my livelihood. Will I be comfortable? Will I be able to have a family? Will I be well off financially? So there is some level of setup that we can have in our lives. However, there is also the unknown future, and that future is filled with obstacles, and there are all types of obstacles. I'm just going to name a few today that I hope most of you can relate to. Now, I do want to say that we can make our races easier if we throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. If we do this very well, there are still going to be obstacles in our way, and we will need to respond accordingly. Now, the obstacles I'm going to list are actually found in our study book, Don't Give Up, in Chapter 8. So these ideas are not my own, and I wanted to give credit where credit is due. Kyle Eidelman came up with these obstacles, but I hope to add my own thoughts to help us understand them better. The first obstacle, the obstacle of insufficiency, the obstacle of I am not good enough. I am not qualified to overcome the obstacles in my life. Here's the hard truth. None of us are. None of us are. Because God did not design humans with that ability. God did not originally design this world to have sin, to have hardships, to have obstacles. But because of original sin, obstacles have become a reality for all of us, and we are all going to have to face them at some point in our lives. This is where faith comes into play. Faith in Jesus and trust in Jesus come into play when we face obstacles, because there's no way to overcome those obstacles without God's power and provision. Kyle Eidelman says this: if you try to do it out of your own strength, you will quickly grow weak. If you try to do it out of your own confidence, you will be humbled. What you are going to do requires dependence on God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. I love music. Now, don't judge me, but I love American Idol. It's one of my favorite shows. I've been watching it since day one. And this season, I haven't missed an episode. Now, this year, there was a girl with the stage name Just Sam. Just Sam spends her days on the New York subway system singing for money. Her parents are not in the picture, and she lives in a tiny apartment with her grandmother. And when I say tiny, I mean tiny. The only income that comes in is Social Security and any cash that she receives. So she decided to make a better life for herself. She decided to try out for American Idol. And if you listen to her sing, you will know that she passed through the auditions with flying colors. She was really good. Now, last week, she had to perform on stage in front of the judges and the other contestants. And needless to say, for her, she was an emotional mess. She had a panic attack. She was filled with anxiety. And we saw in the pre-show interviews where she talked about having a lack of confidence, the fact that she was not professionally trained. She felt like she was unqualified to be there. She basically thought that she was going to fail before she even stepped on the stage. However, she was also determined to have a better life for herself, so she was determined to perform. She sang great. And afterwards, Luke Bryan, one of the judges, said, "You are getting better and better and better. You are getting more and more and more confident. We are seeing you grow before our very eyes." And as Luke was talking, the camera panned over to Just Sam, and we see her put her hand up and mouth the words, "Thank you, Jesus." You see, she had some obstacles to overcome in her life, but she put her faith in Jesus, and he helped her overcome those obstacles. Now, does she know her future? No. Do we know if her singing ability will make a meaningful difference in this world? Hopefully. Do we know that her faith in Jesus will help her overcome any future obstacles that come into her life? 100% yes. Because Jesus proved it to her. He probably proved it to her multiple times before that, but he proved it to her again. Same goes for us. If we put our faith in Jesus, he will help us overcome the obstacles that we have in our lives. The second obstacle, the obstacle of opposition. We live in a world of opposition. We live in a world where people will try to tear you down. If you achieve some level of success, or if you make improvements in your lifestyle, people may get jealous. They'll discourage you. They will judge you. They will be very critical of you. And there are two responses that you can have to those types of people. You can either become more discouraged, or you can become more determined. You can buy into what they're saying, or you can fight against it. And I'm going to encourage you to fight against it. And I'm going to give you a reason why. The reason is, if we run our race with faith in Jesus, we must expect opposition. Think of verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12 verse. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. If Jesus faced opposition, you better believe that we will too. And why should we expect opposition? Spiritual warfare. When you align your will with God's will, Satan will be there to try to intervene. In fact, opposition is a clear sign that you are on the right path, because Satan is trying to stop you. So the best thing that we can do in our lives is to view opposition more positively. We need to expect it. We just need to see it as another obstacle to overcome. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There's your encouragement. Put your faith in Jesus, because he is the one who brings life. He will never discourage you. He will only encourage you. So put your faith in Jesus and run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Last obstacle. The obstacle of slow progress. This is a tough one, because we live in a now culture. I want it now. We get it now. When we lose internet service for even a few seconds on our cell phones, we complain. If Amazon doesn't deliver our package in 2 days, we get mad. And when we get mad, we are going to tell you about it. And then we're going to tell others how bad of a job you did. If we don't get what we want now, we are mad. And the same thing goes with our walk with God. My career isn't progressing as fast as I'd like it to. My debt isn't decreasing fast enough. My kids aren't as responsible as they should be at their age. I'm 30, I'm not even married yet. I was on this diet for a week and I only lost a half a pound. Now, these thoughts aren't overly detrimental unless they lead to us giving up, or worse, blaming God. Where are you, God? I've been trying so hard to do the right thing, but you don't seem to care. I've been sharing the gospel with my brother for years now. When are you going to make him believe? These are all examples of slow progress. And slow progress can have serious negative effects on us. It can lead to disappointment, discouragement, a lack of motivation, a lack of energy, a level of apathy, and a literal giving up on God. We cannot allow slow progress to affect our view of God. And this reminds me of words spoken by God through Isaiah in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 of his book. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is always with us, even when we think he is not. Slow progress does not indicate a lack of involvement by God. I, for one, am thankful that I serve a God who does not always let me have my way, because I will screw it up 10 times out of 10. I already screwed it up 10 times out of 10. You see, without Jesus, we are lost. But with Jesus, hear this, with Jesus, any progress is good progress. Any progress is good progress. Now, in closing, I just want to say that there will be obstacles in your life. They will get in your way. We are experiencing the truth of that statement right now. It's the reason we have pre-recorded sermons on YouTube and why we're meeting on Facebook on Sunday mornings. Life is not a light jog around the block. It is not a sprint to the end of the block. It is a mud run filled with obstacles. And the only way we survive is to run with perseverance the race marked out for us through our faith in Jesus. This brings us all the way back to the main theme of our sermon series and our study book, Don't Give Up. The only way we truly persevere is through faith in Jesus. Because that faith gives us the confidence to keep believing and the courage to keep going. It gives us the strength to not give up. So I say, don't give up. We are going to overcome this current obstacle in the world. And then we are going to overcome the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, because we have faith in Jesus. So I say again, don't give up.